Going back to the word 이야기나고도, the word indicates present and the future. The nun in the beginning indicates we. So what does it mean? 이야기나고도. Its first meaning is we worship you alone. Its second meaning is I am your slave and I will worship you always. Here we are declaring, O Allah, we will be enslaved to you our entire life. This is why this is an oath, as one takes by raising their right hand and swearing that we will always remain loyal to this country. So here it means, O Allah, I will worship you with love and humility. We need to understand the spirit and acts of ibadah. As we pray, do we pray with this spirit? And when we fast, these are all rituals of ibadah or worship. Do we truly feel like slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If salah was the only purpose, then this ayah would have read, we only pray to you. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, we only do your tasbih. As the angel said, O Allah, we do your tasbih and we glorify and magnify you. What was the need of making this human? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, you don't know what I know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind to worship him alone. And angels cannot be true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are made to glorify Allah, do his tasbih, while only mankind can be true slaves, because they are the ones who have certain and varying conditions, such as life, dying, faces times of happiness, sometimes sadness, then conditions where he faces ups and downs in life, and days and nights for him. He faces hunger and thirst. All types of situations come on a human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see, does this person keep on worshipping me and stays my slave despite all the conditions that he faces? This ayah has a lot of depth. And to understand what we are saying when we say we worship you alone, because if he cannot be true slaves, we would be lying. Next, we will look at Iyyaka Nasta'een. This we are saying to Allah directly. When we say, O Allah, we only ask you for help. This is a very important matter, and it's called Ista'ana. The Sinta indicates seeking help. And Aun comes for help. The type of help where you work hard yourself in getting something and then you ask for help. For example, when you want to get a job. To get a job, first you work hard to make a nice resume. Then you apply for the job in different places where you want to work. Then go to different interviews. And then you make dua on top of it. Oh Allah, give me this job. This is isti'ana, or the meaning of the word aun. If we sit at home and say, Oh Allah, give me a job and money, this will not happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do it and give it to you. He is all able and qadir, but he has made this dunya a world where means are necessary, means which are called asbab, where one must get up, strive, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. If I stay at home and hope that the money will just come from somewhere and we don't want to work or try to do anything about it, then just making dua is not ista'ana. Again, what is ista'ana? When a person tries, strives and struggles, and then asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Now, its first meaning is, O Allah, we cannot properly worship you. It is very difficult, and we seek your help, and we are trying our best. This is not for one who is trying to stay away from being true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and says, I will do whatever I want. If I feel like doing it, I will do it. Or say, I don't believe in blind faith, or follow it until I understand the logic behind it. Well, if we have subordinates in our office, are they allowed to ask when given a task, Sir, can you tell me why you asked me to do this? Or would you say, what's the logic behind what you're telling me to do? And if you don't, I won't do it. What would the boss do when he hears this? He would kick you out of the office and fire you. Some people say, I cannot follow Deen blindly, cannot do this. Only if it makes sense to me, then I will do it. You cannot say this to the bosses in this dunya. How can one say this to the Creator, their master? If I understand the logic of this matter, I will do it. What type of slave is this? Rather, you are lying to yourself when you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. So in إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, first we work hard and strive in the path of Allah. And when we find difficulties or hindrances, then you say, O Allah, I am trying my best and I need your help. Then it will be isti'ana, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Cannot be if someone is told, come to Quran and learn what your master is telling you. The other person says in response, just dua, make dua for me. Okay, I will make dua for you. But what are you doing? Make dua for yourself and ask for help. Is it because you don't have the intention to do anything? You tell others to make dua and don't want to do anything yourself. As some people say, I really want to be pious. I really want to be righteous. Make dua for us. If your heart really wants it, you will make the effort. We are so smart for the affairs of this dunya. We don't just sit home and tell people to make dua for you till money starts raining on you. What do? You start a business or get a job and then ask people to make dua to give you barakah in your earnings. We are so smart in the affairs of the dunya. All day we strive to earn more and more. This has become our thinking, living day and night upon it. Then say, make dua, we learn Quran and become righteous. Here we don't realize we need to work and struggle for it also. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. If we look at the Sahaba, did they just sit home and just make dua saying, O Allah, make us victorious in your path and not leave homes? Rather, this is what Bani Israel did. They said to Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, you go and fight. We will stay here. These are the ones whom Allah's wrath is upon them. Or do we say, if Allah wills, He will make us righteous? Rather, we should admit that this is not our own desire, and we only desire the dunya. Because if our desire is truly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will find Him. Sahaba did so much, did all forms of jihad, left their homes, migrated, sacrificing wealth and their lives, and gave away dunya, then made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. So when we ask ista'ana, we are doing the deeds and then come to Allah and ask. This is important to understand. This is one meaning of iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Now let's look at a second meaning. The meaning of ibadah, when we say we worship you alone, we are saying, O Allah, we are ones who obey you alone. This is what we say in salah. When we are saying this, I only do your ibadah, and if your friend comes and tells you something else, and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else, what would you do? Would you say, I don't want to break my friend's heart? What do you think will happen? Would you follow your friend from peer pressure, or will you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In this case, you shouldn't listen to your friend. Whenever there is a conflict with commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in certain matters, we must obey the commands of Allah and not follow what others are saying. For example, if our husband says something that opposes what Allah has said, we cannot say, what should I do? My husband doesn't want me to do this. Then ask yourself, am I a slave of Allah or my husband? And in salah, we are saying, O Allah, I am your slave. But if you follow what your husband is saying, then you are not slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your parents, if they say, this is the command of Allah to obey your mother, and then tell you, you cannot go to the masjid, you cannot wear hijab, or you cannot keep your beard. If she or anyone else tells you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should not obey them, but obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So when do we obey our parents, husbands, or teachers? Why? Why do we obey them? Why do we even obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your parents and your husband. This is why. But if they are telling us to do something opposing the commands of Allah, then we cannot obey them. So what we are saying in Iyyaka na'budu is, we are saying, O Allah, I obey you today and promise to obey you all my life. Another apparent meaning of ibadah is that only Allah is worthy of worship. which includes all rituals and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we do not do sajda or ruku for anyone else. We do not pray to anyone else. We do not do hajj to anyone else. We do not do tawaf of anyone or anything else. These actions are all components of ibadah. And we say, Iyyaka na'budu, we are only saying it to and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how honorable or noble someone is, we cannot bow or do sajda to them. And some people say, we are not worshipping them, but just honoring them. As we can see some people putting their head on someone's feet. This is not allowed. This is shirk. In salah, we say, Iyyaka na'budu. No matter if it's a sheikh, a scholar, a teacher, or anyone else, we cannot bow to them, nor do new sajda to them. There are people who put their foreheads down on the grave or do his tawaf. This is opposing Iyyaka na'budu. Then they say we reach to Allah through them. This is what mushrikeen of Makkah used to do. They would say we reach to Allah by means of these idols. In some cultures, kids bow to their parents. You can respect and honor them but cannot bow to them, because this right is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and no one else. And you cannot do tawaf of anywhere else except Baytullah, the Kaaba. Not even the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let alone a grave of any other person. So in Iyyaka na'budu, you are attesting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you worship Him alone and even make dua to Him alone. You can ask someone pious to make dua to Allah for you, but cannot go to someone deceased in the grave and ask them to make dua. In this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took great care and forbade that a person is sitting and those around him surround him with their hands raised up, showing humility, even if they're not doing an ibadah, but forbade its actions that could resemble an ibadah. As we can see, someone called themselves as peer and have followers surrounding them with humility. This is where shirk comes in. If we look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was so honorable, but we still do not hear of sahaba standing in lines with hands in position of being submissive, nor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to. We can see so much depth in each word. If we look at Iyyaka nasta'in, whenever we find difficulty in following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there could be so many reasons why we find difficulty. So when we say Iyyaka nasta'in, we are saying, O Allah, I am trying to do your ibadah. Either family is not making it easy to follow, or the environment we live in, or circumstance. O Allah, help me, I am finding it hard. They are forcing me to do the opposite. O Allah, help me. And if you don't help me, I will go astray. This is a solution to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and walk upon His deen. If you are unable to walk upon the path of Allah in practical life, then this is a way to ask for help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said Himself, ask me. He has showed us the way. Whenever anyone finds any problem in staying upon deen, should turn to Him. Instead of saying this is difficult, we should say, O Allah, remove this difficulty with your mercy. Today every person has complaints. We constantly hear people say, this is so difficult. Yes, it is difficult. But we say it so much that we have become hopeless and have convinced ourselves and feel it's impossible to follow deen. And if you ask anyone, they will give you a long list of reasons why they cannot follow deen. They say, if I do this, so and so will say this. And if I try to do this, we face this problem and that problem. Such a long list. This is when we don't intend to obey and don't even try, nor make sincere dua for it. We have just made up our minds not to obey. Then if one has made up their mind with this, they will not take any steps to learn and keep on going and living as the rest of the world is. Wherever the world goes, we will follow them in it. Or do we say we can't go against the tide? What and do whatever others are doing and continue doing that? This is not an excuse, because one day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us stand and questions us, why didn't you walk upon my deen? Then if we give the excuse, O Allah, what could we do? You made us in a time of fitna and such difficult time. If we were born at the time of the Sahaba, we would have been so pious. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us, if you are facing so many difficulties from walking upon my path, why didn't you ask for my help? Why didn't you say, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in? Why didn't you say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim? Didn't you read the Quran? The entire Quran is telling you, Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is all able over everything. Couldn't He help you walk upon the deen? Didn't I say, ask for my help and listen to one who calls me? Why didn't you say, O Allah, I'm having a hard time following your deen. Save me from your mercy and save me from the fitnas and trials. Do we just cry and complain and we're not serious? We don't ask sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. As one who doesn't have a child, how do they make dua for a child? If someone doesn't have a son, how they make dua for a son? Those who are jobless, how they make dua for work? Do we make dua for help in walking upon deen with such desires and sincerity? Do we work hard striving for it? Because if we strive and make dua, help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Another point. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, say iyyaka nasta'in, but doesn't say for what. There is no specific thing that's being mentioned. When you make this dua, are you asking for your children to be pious? Or for earning halal? The rule in Arabic is, if anything specific is not mentioned, then that means you're asking for everything. You ask for help in everything concerning dunya and akhirah. So in this, we've asked for help in dunya as well. When we ask something from someone, your relationship with them becomes stronger. So when we make ourselves beggars in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask from Allah and say, O Allah, I ask this from you. Maulana Rumi says, look at a child, how he runs to his mother for his every need. Even if he is outside and another child hurts him, he cries for his mother. While he knows his mother is not there and cannot even hear him. Maulana said, a mother is not everywhere, yet the child calls his mother in every difficulty. You are a slave of the Khaliq who hears everything and hears no matter where you are. Can't you learn from a child who no matter what he needs, he calls his mother? Then we should call unto him, and when you keep asking, you will come near to him. Call unto Allah if you are hot or cold, thirsty or hungry. Call unto him. Call him all the time. Man should keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Alhamdulillah, this concludes our this week's lesson. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين